We have come today to the sixth and final lesson in a series of lessons entitled Jesus, Our Savior, Lord, and Example. And in today's lesson, and later this week, the Lord willing, we will finish this series that has called upon us to meditate upon and imitate and habitually imitate the example of Jesus so that our character, our thinking and conduct might become like His by the power of the Word of God over time. Jesus endured suffering while trusting the Father is the title of our lesson. But before that, we want to mention the study that we have completed, Lesson 5, Jesus, His Love, Mercy, and Compassion. Loving God by obeying Him determines how we should love our neighbor. And Jesus loved the Father perfectly, obeying all of His will. And He loved His human beings perfectly, showing us how we should love. Jesus loved the lost by teaching them the truth. He showed mercy and compassion by feeding the hungry. He showed mercy and compassion by healing others. And also, He showed that for the grieving by raising a son from the dead. Jesus' greatest display of love was dying on the cross for our sins. We receive forgiveness when faith leads to repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. We continue to be forgiven as we repent, confess our sins, and pray. We are to love one another as Jesus has loved us, and the character of the Christian's love is shown in 1 Corinthians 13, and we read a portion of that. Walk in love, display love by teaching the gospel to our neighbors. Display love to our neighbors by meeting spiritual and physical needs. And that is these are the points important that we covered in that lesson. But we want to move forward today into Jesus enduring or being patient while suffering, still serving and trusting the Father until the end. At least two groups of related words refer to patience in the New Testament. One group focuses on being long-tempered or being restrained when provoked. We also use that word long-suffering. That is, in the face of provocation, that one holds back retaliation and an angry response. The other words focus on standing fast, standing firm, enduring, or abiding under trials. Although Jesus perfectly displayed both of these qualities, and we are to imitate both in our lives, in this lesson we will focus on enduring, abiding under trials in this life. Both before and during His crucifixion, our Lord showed perfect endurance. That is, He continued on in serving God regardless of what the circumstances were. This was made possible because He submitted to the will and trusted and the promises of his Heavenly Father. Instead of falling away during trials, we too are to endure that we may become like our Lord and glorify God by our lives. Developing endurance, though, can only come as we experience trials in this life. Endurance will never come if we do not have the trials that bring it about. Developing endurance can only come as we place our obedient trust in God. So let us gaze on the perfect endurance of our Lord and some applications to us as we go forward in our lesson. Jesus' enduring suffering was foretold in the Old Testament. In that famous passage in Isaiah 53, we'll begin in verse 3, a passage that is misunderstood and by our Jewish friends who cannot accept a suffering Messiah who would die on the cross for the sins of humanity. That is, many of them cannot accept it, therefore cannot comprehend Isaiah 53, a suffering servant dying on the cross, the Messiah, so that we might be saved from our sins. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. And so Jesus' suffering was foretold, that he would endure great rejection and persecution by those whom he had created, by his own people, the Jews, as he lived as a Jew, those, the people of God, receiving the law of Moses and the word of the prophets after Moses, foretelling the suffering of Jesus. And not only that, but Jesus, we see his example of enduring this persecution, even though he committed no sin. Enduring persecution, even the ultimate persecution, dying on the cross. And that he is our example of endurance when we get discouraged, when we want to give up, when we want to slack off. He is our example of continuing endurance. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Yes, Jesus is our example when we're mistreated by others for doing the right thing in the sight of God. Then he is our example. He was willing to endure all the hostility and persecution and violence as he served God and trusted in the Father. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." When we look at the endurance of Jesus, even right before he went to the cross, shortly before that, the night before, the early morning before, we see Jesus praying in agony, calling upon God to help him endure what he willingly and lovingly was set to accomplish, that is, dying on the cross. Luke 22 and verse 42, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And so Jesus, praying in Gethsemane, just hours before he would be hanged upon the cross, agonizing, and the Father sending an angel to strengthen him, that he might go forth and continue enduring until the end. Jesus' disciples, though, they scatter. Matthew 26 and verse 55, "At that time Jesus said to the crowd, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets.' Then all the disciples left him and fled." Now the chief priest, this is verse 59 of Matthew, this is the part of, again, of what Jesus endured before he went to the cross, the mock false trials that he endured at the hands of sinners. Matthew 26:59, "Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward, but later on two came forward. And said, this man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you? And so Jesus, enduring before the chief priest the mockery, the blasphemy on their part, not his part, and the physical and verbal abuse, even before the cross. Before the Jewish council, Luke 22 and verse 66, when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, yes, I am. Then they said, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. And so Jesus again accused of blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God, which he was and is. And yet they are ready to condemn him to death. They send him to Herod, the puppet king who the Romans allowed to be in power. Luke 23 and verse 7, and when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Then Jesus before Pilate several times before he is condemned, the Roman governor. Mark 15 and verse 9, Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him who you call the King of the Jews?" They answered back, "Crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. And so Jesus, enduring persecution and all types of hostility, even before the cross. And then on the cross, Jesus enduring the pain of crucifixion and again the continued abuse of the soldiers. Matthew 27 and verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. This is before Jesus would be crucified. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and the reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. John 19 and verse 3, and they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. Yes, even before the cross, Jesus endured persecution by his own creation, even though he was without sin. Jesus endured suffering while trusting the Father. He endured suffering that was foretold in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament as well as other places. Jesus' endurance, an example for us to follow so that we might learn to be patient under trial. Jesus endured suffering leading to the cross. And Jesus endured suffering on the cross, which we will look at as we go forward in the next part of our lesson. And so we come to the end of this part to encourage us not to give up, but to continue to be patient while serving God. In spite of all provocation or enticement or other difficulties that we may suffer in this life, even if our lives are threatened, that we might continue on to serve God, following our example of our Lord and Savior. We're going to stop there today, and we're going to encourage all who have not yet obeyed the gospel in the way that the scriptures teach to become a child of God. We would plead with you, while there is life, while there is time, that you do so, while you have opportunity, in order to be saved, forgiven of all past sins. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that He is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that He died for our sins, was raised from the dead on the third day, and is seated now ruling in heaven over heaven and earth, over all at the right hand of God. If you believe that, we would encourage you to repent of your sins, turn to God, change your mind about your sins and turn to God, ready to do His will, confess that faith before men in Jesus as the Son of God, and as soon as possible, immediately after your confession if possible, be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, as you can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. At baptism, a penitent believer who has confessed Jesus becomes a child of God. This is what the scriptures teaches, and this is what we would encourage you to do, not the sinner's prayer or infant baptism. These are false ways of being saved. They don't save anybody. But faith leading to repentance, confession, and baptism, that is what brings us into Christ. We would encourage you to do this before it's too late. We would be glad to study with you if you would call, text, or email us at any time, even studying with you remotely by Zoom or whatever means we need to procure to do so, or finding those in your area who can study with you. Then we are to meet together and worship and work together as a local congregation that follows the apostles' teaching, not the traditions of men and women that created all the denominations. As we do so, we often fall short of His will, and according to Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1, we are to repent, confess our sins, and pray to God for His mercy, that we as Christians might continue to grow in His grace and knowledge. We would encourage all to respond whenever you may hear or view this lesson, as today we draw this lesson to a close.